things of the day we're living in is that in many churches and Christians and a lot of even people believe that nobody really knows they're going to heaven. And that you just work and do the very best you can and just hope and pray that you'll make it. But you just get one chance with your soul. You get it wrong the first time, you never get to come back and do it again. You'll never reincarnate as a little baby and come back and get to live it over and over and over. Try and try till you finally get it right. Just one life. And so I'm glad the Lord's fixed it up that you can be sure. The Bible says in 1 John 5:13, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that you have eternal life." And if you don't know this morning that you've got eternal life, you ought to find out before you leave. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 8 this morning, if you have your Bibles, turn to the book of Isaiah, chapter 8, and then also Isaiah 57. Isaiah, chapter 57. Book of Isaiah, chapter 8. And then some other scripture in the book of Isaiah, chapter 57. Someone next to you don't have a Bible, you might share yours with them. Or get one, I think, some in the back of the seats there. I'd like for you to read this verse of scripture. I'm going to read two verses and ask that you pray for us. This morning I'm going to talk to you on the longest word in the Bible. Longest word in the whole Bible. And there's some long ones. I'm sure you've read those in the Old Testament. You've come across some words. Boy, I've tried to pronounce some of them things. Go through the awfulest mess you ever seen trying to say some of those words. And there's some long ones, some hard ones. But this is the longest one, longest word in the whole Bible. If you get a concordance or a Bible dictionary, something will tell you the longest word in the Bible is found in Isaiah 8:1. "Moreover, the Lord said unto me," Isaiah 8:1, "take thee a great roll and write in it with a man's pen concerning Maher Shalal Hashbaz." Longest word in the Bible. But you know what? That's what the dictionary says, but I found the word longer than that. The longest word in the Bible is in Isaiah 57:15. Isaiah 57:15. "For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity." That is the longest word in the Bible. Eternity. "Whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place, and with him also that is of contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble, and to revive the heart of the contrite ones." In the first part of verse 15, the Bible says, "For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity." That is the longest word in the Bible, longest word in the universe. As a matter of fact, as often as you hear a preacher use the word eternity, you'd think that it would be in the Bible a whole bunch of times, but it's only in the Bible one time. The word eternity just found in your Bible one time. And it's in Isaiah 57:15. Why is that, preacher? Because there ain't room for another one. There's not another room for another eternity. It's such a big word, it only occurs once. I want to try to speak to you on the subject this morning. Remember eternity. Remember eternity. Let's bow our heads while we pray. Our Heavenly Father, this morning we thank you, Lord, for this privilege to be able to just come boldly to the throne of grace and call you our Father. We thank you, Lord, for the love of God that was shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given in us. We thank you, Lord, for a good day. Thank you, Lord, for the good Sunday school. Thank you, Father, for every person that's here. And now, Lord, as we come time to look into your word, Lord, as we sing, as we give, Lord, we're looking to heaven to hear from thee this morning. Oh, dear God, I pray that every person here will hear your voice today in the message by the power of the Holy Ghost. I pray for that one that's a Christian this morning, that they would be what the Word of God tells us, to remember eternity. And then, Lord, for that one who's not yet prepared for eternity, Lord, who's still lost, who's still serving sin and Satan and the flesh, I pray you'd set them free this morning that they may come to thee and have eternal life. In Jesus' name we pray and for his sake. Amen. I want to talk to you this morning just a little while on the subject, remember eternity. In this short breath that I have just in these next few minutes, I'd like to try to talk to you about the biggest subject and the biggest word in the entire world. It's absolutely incomprehensible. Do you comprehend eternity? And the reason why is because we govern our whole lives by time. We're supposed to be at work at a certain time. We get off at a certain time. We get up at a certain time. We put the kids to bed at a certain time. We let them play so long outside. Then they got to come in, get the homework. Everything that we do is governed by that clock or by the watch and by our time schedule. And a lot of times, if we're not very careful, we'll forget that we're just living in time just for a little short space down here. And after we leave time and graduate out of time, we move in to what the Bible calls eternity. Eternity never has a beginning and never has an ending. After you're there a long time, you never age. God has always been and always will be. Yet God's not a bit older this morning than he was when he made the world thousands and thousands of years ago. He hasn't aged not one little bit, and that's because he inhabits eternity. And I believe this morning that it would make a lot of difference in our lives if we would get our minds off of time so much and on to eternity. You see, folks, everybody in this church this morning is moving towards eternity. Each one of these little kids, every one of these moms and dads, every businessman, every lady, every housewife, every man that's here today is moving toward eternity. Now, we a lot of times think that this life is all there is, and if we can just make a good living, make a lot of money, you know, and pile it up here and make have anything we want in this life, that we are a success. But this, many people forget that this life is nothing more than just the dressing room for us to prepare and get ready to move out on stage. This life is nothing more than just a short, smooth veil that we're passing through. One place over, I think in England, or some place over there, has a plaque on the wall, and it says this: a God, a moment, an eternity. A God which sees thee, a moment which flees thee, an eternity which awaits thee. We are too concerned with time and not enough with eternity. You remember when you read about the primitive church, when they would have the inauguration service for Archbishop in the primitive church, they would line up a bunch of men down on each side of him. And they were long to walk down through there, or the men would pass by him and have something to say to him. And one of the most famous and most frequent quotations, I believe, that they give the man as they walked by him when they was charging him to be a faithful preacher, they would walk by and they would tell him, "Remember eternity." I believe this morning that it would make a big difference in our lives and every person here today if we would remember eternity. Now, the Bible tells us of eternity. It tells us what's in store in eternity. I can tell you what's in store for every person in this church a million years from now. I can tell you where everybody in here will be a million years from right now. You won't be like a dog or a cat. There's a lot of people that think when you die that you just go to sleep and you cease to exist and you're unconscious from then on and nobody ever hears tell from you again. But the Bible tells us that every person, Every person in this church will inhabit eternity someday in one of two places. God fixed it to where every person goes to one of two places. In Revelation 22 and verse 5, it says, "The righteous shall reign with Christ forever and forever." Never have it in. Always be with Jesus. And then the unrighteous, in Matthew 25 and verse 36, it says, "These shall go away into everlasting punishment." Now there's only two places that God has told about in eternity. If you go to church or you hear a preacher that don't tell you there's two places that people go when they die, one of them's hell and the other's hell, you're wasting your time listening. For God said that there's two places, not three. There's no purgatory, you see. God didn't make one. Where there has been, where there will be. He made heaven and he made hell. The righteous, those that are trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, go to heaven forever and ever and ever. The people who say no to Jesus and don't have time for Jesus and reject Jesus out of their life, go to hell. And the everlasting punishment. 83 people a minute go into eternity, and probably more than that by now. You know that everybody in this church was just waiting in line. While I've been up here talking, if I've been talking, say, 5 or 10 minutes already, there's been well over 500 or 600 people went into what is known as eternity. I remember all the time that we reading. I'd come across reading about atheists. And here's a man says, "I'm an atheist. I don't believe in any God. I don't believe in any before. I don't believe in any hereafter. I'm just simply an atheist." And he said, "I don't believe in any such thing as that." But you know what the Bible says in Psalm 14:1? The fool has said in his heart, "There is no God." And brother, he told me a lady one day, and he said, "You can't tell me that Bible's true. That's just a bunch of junk." She was telling him there's two places you have to go when you die. One's heaven and the other's hell. He said, "That's a bunch of baloney. Them preachers just make that stuff up to scare people to make a good living off of them." And she said, "Oh no, it's true." And he said, "I want you to tell me how Jonah stayed in that belly of that whale for 3 days and 3 nights and come out, and I just don't believe that stuff." She said, "How'd he make it?" He said, "How'd you make it?" And that lady said, "Sir, I don't know how he made it." But she said, "When I get to heaven one day, I'm going to ask him." And he said, "Well, what if he ain't in heaven?" She said, "Well, you ask him." What she was trying to tell that man, if he wasn't going to heaven, there wasn't one other place he can go. You know, there's a lot of people that think they ain't good enough to get to heaven, but they ain't quite bad enough to go to hell. And so they think, "Well, God's going to create some kind of middle ground for me that's not bad enough to go to hell but not good enough to go to heaven. And he'll just create some kind of a mediocre place there for us middle folks that wasn't too right but wasn't too wrong. And never did do too much right but never did too much wrong. And God is just going to make us a place there where we can float around and never bother anybody for all time and eternity." But the Bible says no. The Bible says two places. One's heaven, the other's hell. No other places mentioned. The righteous going to heaven, the unrighteous going to hell. The only way you can be made righteous is have Jesus Christ and his righteousness applied to your life. The only way you can go to hell is reject what God's Son did for you on the cross. All right, I'm going to say a few things this morning about eternity. First of all, I want to give you the definition of eternity. A deaf people in past gave this definition. It is the lifetime of the Almighty. That's a good definition of eternity. Somebody else said that it's duration without beginning and without ending. Somebody else said that it's an ever-abiding present. Existence without bound or dimension. Present without past or future. Youth without infancy or old age. Life without birth or death. Today without yesterday or tomorrow. That's a definition of eternity. It's just like an ever-abiding day. It don't pass away. There was no such thing as yesterday. There'll be no such thing as tomorrow in eternity. It's just an ever-abiding present. I want to say a few things this morning about the reason for eternity. You wonder why God made it that way? Have you ever wondered how come God made us have to live somewhere forever and ever and ever? Well, I'll tell you one good reason for it is because this life would not make sense without it. That's why this life is so hard to understand by people who don't believe the Bible. People who don't believe the Bible have a very hard time understanding life. They say, oh, I can't understand why little babies are born deformed. I can't understand why good people have bad things happen to them and evil people have good things happen to them. If there's a God, why don't He do something about war and poverty and people starving to death and all the problems this world has? If there's a God, why don't He stop some of the mess that this world's in? But did you know this morning, the only way you can understand it is to look at eternity. That's when God's going to balance everything out. That's when things are going to begin to make sense. That's when we're going to say, oh, that's why this happened. That's why the other happened. When we get to eternity, everything will fall into place. Did you know this morning your life's just like a puzzle? And there's thousands of little pieces of it. You can take a puzzle that's laying all over the place, piled up, and you pick up one of the pieces. And to look at that, you can look at it and turn it every way in the world. And you can't figure out what it says. You can't figure out what it's trying to be. But one of these days when you get all the pieces of the puzzle put together, then you'll back up and look at the picture. And you'll say, that's what it all meant. And everything that happens to you and me in our life is just pieces of the puzzle. And one day when we get to eternity, we'll look back and we'll see the whole puzzle fitly put together. And we'll say, now it all makes sense. This life makes sense because we believe in eternity. If you don't believe in eternity, here's about all your life can be. It's just a circle. You spend the day in trifle and disappointment. You lay down at night and fall off to sleep and dream and have broken thoughts and wild imaginations. The next morning you rise up, go back to work. And you're just like a tale that is told. The Bible declares there has to be more to it than this, folks. There has to be more than just existing. There's something inside of me, something inside of you that tells you today that there's more to it than just making a living and putting money in the bank and retiring and then dying and leaving it all. There's an eternity out there that awaits us. If you're not ready for it, you ought to get ready. It'll change your views. Isn't it a sad thing to think about? I remember hearing this guy that he asked this man, he says, what are you going to do when you get out of school? He said, I'm going to go to college, I'm going to work hard, and I'm going to study hard and get me a degree, and I'll get out of college. And the man said, what then? And he said, I'm going to work and I'm going to make me a living. I'm going to make the most money I can possibly make. I'm going to have everything there is to offer. I'm going to have my kids are going to have the very best of clothes, the very best of automobiles. They're going to be taken to school. They're going to take, I'm going to have money in the bank. I'm going to have nice furniture in my house. I'm going to have a lot of things. And the man says, what then? And the young man says, after that, I'll retire from my job and I'll sit back and I'm going to take it easy. Play golf and I'll sit around and cook steaks out on the grill and I'm just going to sit back and enjoy what I've accomplished. And the man said, what then? And the young man said, well, I guess I'll begin to grow old. And I'm going to do my best to enjoy my last few years and I'm going to enjoy my life. And the man said, what then? And the guy said, well, I guess I'll die. And the man said, what then? And the boy didn't have no answer. Did you know most people in McDowell County this morning, they're just simply living for right now. Grab all they can get. And they don't realize one day they're going to have a heart attack. One day they're going to fall over. Somebody's going to pronounce them dead. And they'll leave it every bit behind. I want to tell you something, folks. You come into this world naked, you're going to leave the same way. Amen. Only what's done for Jesus will last. I remember hearing a bunch of people sitting around talking in a fellowship meeting one day. They was all laughing and cutting up, you know. And they sent the preacher over there. And he's sitting over there with a stare on his face. And they said, what's the matter with him? He just, for you tell, his mind was a million miles away. And everybody said, somebody come up to him and said, Pastor, what's the matter? And he'd been sitting there thinking about eternity. He'd been sitting there thinking about forever and ever and ever with the Lord. And he raised up and he said, oh, friends, consider what it is to be forever with the Lord. He'd been sitting there rolling it over in his mind. How what it'd be like to be with the Lord forever and ever and ever. Young people, work hard. Make your living. Get all the education you can get. There's nothing wrong with that whatsoever. Have a good job. Prosper. But don't forget eternity. It's got to be first. You say, preacher, I'm too busy to go to church. I work. I got to make a living. Well, then you're too busy for your own good. You better not forget eternity. I remember hearing about the people, and they would say, if there's a God, and if He's just, how come good people have to suffer and bad people seem to get by with murder? And I thought about that. And I couldn't think of nothing else but eternity. Here's a man that comes up and he's real wicked. He comes home drunk and starts a fight. He beats up on his wife. We don't like to think about this, but it happens every day. He leaves her blue. And he gets the kids, and the kids run and go hide under the bed. And they just scared to come out, afraid daddy will get him. And I've seen pictures of them, of just little kids with their eyes swelled out and black and blue. And whether some of them with their limbs broken, where daddy had treated them wrong. Wife says, honey, I can't stand it no more. And he says, well, you ain't much no way. I'll go live like I want to live. And he leaves them. He goes to Las Vegas. He gets him a nice car and drives them down the streets, makes all kinds of money and gambles and makes his living by cheating people out of their money and constantly doing wrong. And it seems like everything he touches turns to gold. It seemed like everything he does just brings in more money. All the women, all the wine, all the song that he could possibly want. It seems like that everything he touches is just prospering him. And he gets famous and maybe gets starring in a nightclub or something like that. And he lives up until he's about 85 years old and never is sick a day in his life. And then dies. And over here on the other hand is an old lady that goes to church every Sunday of her life. Raise 10 kids and have to raise half her grandkids when their daughters separate and run off and leave their husbands. She's tried her best to do right, read the Bible every day of her life, and she don't know what a day is without pain. She don't know what it's like, and then one day she goes to the doctor and finds out she got cancer. And little by little, her stomach begins to hurt, and she starts losing weight. And the first thing you know, she's bedfast and feeling like a burden to the family. And they're having to take care of her. And she lays there and suffers 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 and in unimaginable pain. And then finally dies. About 65. And somebody comes along and says, if God's fire, how come that old man got by with living like the devil? Nothing bad ever happened to him. And this poor old lady that's trying to do right, she don't have a day's peace ever. And the answer to that is God will even it out and balance the scales in eternity. You see, if a person's living in sin now, they're having their heaven. And as soon as they die, they'll have their hell forever and ever. But if you're a Christian, you're trying to do right this morning, you're having your hell. And it's all the hell you'll ever have to have. And brother, when you die, you'll begin to have your heaven. I'd rather have my hell now for a few years and get it over with and maybe have somebody laugh at me and make fun of me and have heaven forever and ever, wouldn't you? You better remember eternity. You know, persecution won't seem so bad if you'll remember eternity. laughed at me. They made fun of me for being a Christian. You just remember eternity. God will pay you back a thousandfold. I remember hearing about this boy that was dragging him through the streets to be beheaded. A young Christian man back in the dark ages, in the days of persecution on the church. And he's dragging him through the streets, going to cut his head off. He passed by his old mother. She said, "Son, remember eternity. You're not giving up your life. You're just exchanging it for a better one." Thank God after that he laid his head cheerfully on the chopping block. And you know, he realized he wasn't missing anything. You know, there's a lot of people that try to tell you, say, "Oh, you miss a lot when you're a Christian. Oh, I don't want to go to church. You miss too much fun." Well, if laying down half sick with a headache and throwing up all over the commode, getting up with a hangover and feeling guilty all the time, afraid you're going to get caught, is having fun, I don't want to have no fun. If laying down every night scared you're going to die and afraid the Lord's going to strike a tree outside and fall on your house, or afraid something's going to happen and scared of dying all the time and everything, if that's fun, I don't want no fun. You know what the Bible tells us and the Bible teaches us? There's joy in knowing the Lord. Happiness is to know the Savior, living a life within His favor. Happiness is a change in my behavior. Happiness is the Lord. And I want to say something this morning that it's impossible for a person to try to do, but I'm going to try to do it anyway and give you a thought in your mind. The length of eternity. I just thought I'd get to tell you how long you're going to get to stay in your home. See? If you're going to hell, I'm going to tell you how long you're going to get to stay there. If you're going to heaven, I'm going to tell you how long you're going to get to stay there. So you might as well make plans. See? When you're going to move somewhere, you say, "Well, I want to find out all about my new home and everything, how it's going to be, fixing to move in." You know, these people always going around, "Hell this, oh hell, oh hell that." They're talking about their home all the time. They're getting ready to move in. Amen. I want to say while I'm on that, God's last name ain't damn. A lot of people think it is. Why don't they say, "Devil, damn it"? Yeah. God won't know to damn anything. The devil will. You're condemned already. You don't accept Him. I ain't never heard a preacher talk like that. Well, first time for everything. I want to tell you this morning where you're going to stay and how long it'll be. The length of eternity will rack your brain. Ever come up with a computer? You can figure it out. They brag about these big computers and how many numbers they can store out. That's little kiddie toys. They ought to get in the Bible and read about eternity. Brother, there's no end to it. 100 years, 1,000 years, 1,000,000 years, and it still hasn't wound up. It still hasn't got a bit shorter. You're still closer to the end than you were when you first got there. How long are you going to have to stay in hell? How long you get to stay in heaven? You're throughout eternity. There's no end to it. It's forever and ever and ever and ever and ever this morning. You think about this. I tried to illustrate it like this before. I'll give you a few illustrations and maybe help your mind. You see, we've got it in our mind that even if you do go to hell, sooner or later, it'll end. And brother, sooner or later, there'll be a stopping place to it. I used to think that if I went to hell, I'd just burn up like a piece of paper and that'd be the end of me. And nobody'd ever hear tell of me again. But the Bible says everlasting punishment. The Bible says the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and forever. No end to it. You know how come? Because you committed a sin. And when you commit a sin against an eternal God, there is no way for you to ever get it paid for. It takes all eternity to pay for it because then it's an eternal sin against an eternal God, and it takes all eternity for you to pay for it. You'll never get it paid for. Somebody said, "Well, good night. It looks like after I burned in hell for 1,000,000 years that God would look down and He'd say, 'Well, they paid for their sins. I'm going to let them out.'" You can't pay for a sin. It's an eternal sin. It's an eternal sin against an eternal God, and it can't be paid for except by the blood. And when the blood of Jesus was shed, God fixed it up that you could have your eternal sins paid for. And when you come to the foot of the cross and you say, "Dear Lord Jesus, I want you to be my Savior right now," His blood covers your sins, and God says, "Stamp and paid for in full," and you get to go to heaven. Other than that, you don't get to go. So I belong to church. Big deal. So did Hitler. Yes, sir. Brother, I'm here to tell you this morning, you can be baptized so many times the tadpoles know your social security number. It ain't going to help you a bit. You take a solid steel ball the size of this earth, solid steel, all the way through, not holler, solid steel ball, and you put a little ant on that steel ball, watch that ant begin to crawl around. You know, a little ant, just like you couldn't hardly see it, just like a little speck on this floor, and put him on that solid steel ball, same size of the earth. And let him walk around, and walk around, and walk around on it, and walk around on it until he wears it down to the size of a marble. And people will still be in hell. People will still be in heaven. You take a violent snowstorm that covers 1,000 square miles of territory, or 1,000 miles, maybe an eastern, whole eastern part of the United States. And brother, you take all that big snowstorm and you let one flake of snow melt. Finally melted. Will people in heaven come to an end and will they cease? No! Said they'll reign with Christ forever and forever. Of all the rays that's ever shone from the sun and the sun shining down its rays, if you divided that up and put one ray of sun on this earth every 1,000 years, one at a time, all the rays that have ever shone, you know, no doubt it would be a number of years big that you couldn't write it on the face of this earth, all the zeros. You'd have to put 1, 0, 0, 0, 0, and you'd go around the world writing zeros. But yet, after you stay in hell or heaven that long, somebody's come up and they'll say, "Well, is it about over?" You'll say, "No, we've got just as much time left as we did when we first got here." That's eternity. If you believe that this morning, it'll make you act different. If you believe, you just think, "Well, I live 60 years, preacher." That's nothing compared to eternity. That's just a breath compared to a whole life. Less than that. You took one drop of the ocean. You went down to the Atlantic Ocean this morning, and you got one drop of water. And you drove up here in your car, and you took it up on top of Mount Mitchell and poured it out. And you drove back down to the Atlantic Ocean, and you got another drop of water. And you took them all the way back to the top of Mount Mitchell and poured it out. That'd be two drops of water. If you kept doing that and kept doing that and kept doing that and kept doing that until you emptied the Atlantic Ocean, people would still be in hell. People would still be in heaven. If a little bird got on this earth, he flew down to the coast, picked up a grain of sand in his beak, started flying to the moon with it, time flew all those hundreds of 38,000 miles to the moon. And after he got to the moon, he went over there and dropped that little speck of dirt. Turned around and fly all the way back to the earth, down to the coast again, and get another speck of sand. Turned around and flew all the way back to the moon and dropped that speck of dirt on the moon. That'd be two specks of dust. Turn around, come all the way back to the earth and get another speck of dust and turn around, go fly and take it all the way back. It'd be three. And after he'd done that for billions and billions and trillions and billions and billions of trillions of years, have all the dirt from earth moved to that moon, he could start taking all of it then to the next planet. And when he got it all to the next planet, take it to the next and to the next one. And when he got all the way out to the end of our solar system, turn around and start back this way with it. And after all that time had gone, will the degrees in hell be 1 degree less according to what the Bible says? No. You say, I just cannot believe that. Well, I want to confess something to you this morning that's very hard for my mind to accept. Something in my mind just rejects that. It says that just can't be. But the Bible says the world by wisdom knew not God. And you can't figure out God in your mind. You better just take what it says.
Amen.
And if it says it, you better say amen to it. This Bible's been here before me or you ever one got here. It'll be here after we're gone. And I'm not going to believe a bunch of little pipsqueaks that maybe it's got a PhD for their post hole diggers. And brother that comes up here and tells me that there's mistakes in it and that it's not true. You better believe the book that was bought and paid for by the blood of millions of Christians down through the centuries. God's message to you, and he's wanting you to remember eternity. Now, you say, preacher, I just don't believe in eternity. I can prove to you this morning that there is an eternity. You say, I believe one of these days everything will just cease to exist. Well, what's there going to be then? I mean, there's got to be something out there. I don't want to run you crazy or nothing, but you just start thinking about going out there to the end of the planets. And you know, there's got to be something past them, and there's more universe, more solar systems and universes and atmosphere on past that. And scientists say that they can look into a telescope, and brother, they can see that there's literally millions of solar systems just like ours. You say it's got to end somewhere. Well, if it did, what would be past that? You say, there's nothing. Well, there's got to, even if it's nothing, it's something. It's just empty space. And what's past that? And past that? And past that? You say, sooner or later, there's got to be a cap on this thing, and that's the end of it. No, you're thinking about time. What would be past that? This goes on and on and on. I remember when I first got saved, somebody said, we're going to stay in heaven forever and ever and ever. And I said, boy, I'm going to try to imagine that. And I let my mind run away on out there. And here I was in heaven. I could see back here where I started in the back of my mind. And my mind would go way out there. And I said, well, we've been here 10 million years. And I'd go on out there and say, 10 million more years, 10 billion, billion, trillion more years. And I'd forget where I started from back here. And I come to the conclusion, you can't comprehend eternity. There's no way you can get it in your mind. No matter what you've imagined, while I've been preaching this morning, it's 29 billion times more, and 29 billion times more than that, and 100 billion times more than that. And you keep on saying that forever, and it still wouldn't be over.
Amen.
Glad you saved today. No end. Listen, folks, if God said if you die in your sins, you'll spend 1 million years in hell, that would be a blessing. You know what the Bible says about people in hell? It says they have no rest day or night. It says there is weeping, there's wailing, and there's gnashing of teeth. That means if God was to pull back this wall tonight and somehow or another bring hell up and let everybody in this church get a glimpse, you'd see people staggering, falling over each other and burning in the flames and biting and cussing and kicking. And it's worse than you can ever imagine. Somebody said in that burning hell film, they said, oh, I don't believe in trying to scare people. Listen, brother, that film is a Sunday school picnic compared to what hell really like. They've done a good job, I thought, of portraying it, but they never even scratched the surface. What hell's really going to be and is. If you got to stay in there 1,000,000 years, after you were there 100,000 years, you'd say, I don't know if I can stand it. I don't know if I can stand it. But you'd look away out yonder and say, 900,000 years from now, I'll get out. And then when you stayed in there 500,000 years, the agony, the torment wouldn't be let up one bit. You never get used to it. You'll never get used to it. You'll never get to where it don't bother you. Just as bad after you've been there 500,000 years as it was the first day you came. And you'll look back and you'll say, 500,000 more years and I'm going to get out of here. And finally, after 1,000,000 years had went by, God would say, all right, it's over. Did you know this morning, if that's the way it was, I still wouldn't want to go there, would you? Amen. I mean, brother, we come in last night and we left the windows open from church and the Lord had sent some nice cool air. He turned on the air conditioning, brother, and me both last night. Air come through the house, and it was cold when we got in the house. And I went in there and closed the windows, you know, and hadn't turned the furnace on yet this year, and I flipped on the eye of the stove and turned the oven on just to heat up in there just for a few minutes. That thing got real bright and red hot. I've been over there reading my Bible, and I could feel the heat starting to come up against my face. And I went over there, and something said, if you're going to preach about hell, you ought to stick your hand over on that eye of that stove and get a little taste of where you can really make a believer out of people. And I put my hand over top of that eye, and I put it a little bit farther, and I could feel the heat. Man, it was hurting, and I said, that's as close to hell as I ever want to get. And I could have put my hand down on that thing, and this morning I would have had big ribs probably bandaged up. Might have been in the hospital. I don't know. I want to say, you imagine, not just on your hand, all over your whole body. You say, I just don't believe that. Well, I'll tell you what, you'll find out. A man came to a lady one time and he said, oh, I don't believe in there's a heaven and a hell. He said, what if you're wrong? And when you die, you find out there ain't no heaven. She said, well, I won't be losing nothing. As a matter of fact, if you die, you couldn't find out there wasn't no heaven. You'll never know it if there wasn't one. And she turned back at him and she said, but what if you're wrong? And you die and find out there is a hell. You see, you're gambling. If you say, I don't believe the book, and I'm not going to accept its message, you're gambling. You're taking a chance. You're taking the most dangerous chance anybody's ever took. Somebody said when Evel Knievel tried to jump the big crack out there, they said, man, he's crazy. He's out of his mind. And I said, amen. He ain't half as crazy as a man that'll gamble with his eternal soul and would risk the chance of going into a lake of fire forever and ever and ever. Man's got to be crazy to do that. I remember hearing this story of a man standing on a ship. And he's standing there throwing something up and down to catch it. Throwing it up and down to catch it. Somebody walked up to him and said, what are you doing? He had a big diamond about that big around. They said, man, you're crazy standing out here throwing that thing up there. Oh, he said, I've been doing this all day. Throwing it up there and catching it. About that time he threw it up in a big puff of wind. Caught it and blew it out there in the water. And He started jumping up and down, screaming, pulling his hair, wondering, and saying, that's everything I've worked for. That's my life savings. That's my life earning. And you say, well, a man do something like that, he's foolish. He's silly. He's ridiculous. And I agree with you. He sure is. But he's not near as foolish as a person who will feel God speaking to their heart, and know things ain't right between them and the Lord, and turn right around and just walk away from it and take a gamble on going to hell forever and ever and ever. That's the crazy man. That's the foolish man. No doubt probably there's young people in here this morning. The only reason you won't get saved because you know your friends will laugh at you and make fun of you. Listen, they can laugh as far as I'm concerned. I'd rather a few people laugh at me down here than to spend eternity in a lake of fire with them one day. I tell you, I thought that too. When I first got saved, I thought all my friends would laugh. And a couple of them did. But you know what I found out deep down inside? They respected me. And they had a desire to have what I had. And so you don't worry about it. It's just the devil trying to trick you. Millions of ages upon ages upon ages. Nothing compared to eternity. I want to ask you a question this morning to bring this message to a close. Point blank. You're going to answer this question, yes or no. Are you prepared for eternity? If I was to pull out a gun and shoot you, he'd kill you right now. Are you ready? You say, well, Brother Danny, that makes me nervous. It's a good sign you ain't ready. You say, preacher, that scares me. Wish you wouldn't talk like that. I'll just get out of here and I'll go ride around all evening. I'll have fun and I'll get my mind off of it. You got to face it sometime. And you ought to face it this morning. God has brought you here for this message for a purpose this morning. There's nobody here by accident. There's somebody here this morning that you may never go back home. You may never get out of the parking lot. You may never reach your home this afternoon as you go home in your car. The question I want to ask you, are you prepared for eternity? If you are, we'll have you roll your coffin down through here and look at your body for the last time in this earth. We'll say, well, she's a good old soul. She's a good old soul. Thank God they made it in. Ready for eternity. If they're not, we won't know. Just leave you in the hands of God. Let's stand this morning. Our heads bowed and eyes closed. Every head bowed and every eye closed. No one looking around, no one talking, no one leaving the building. Try to be just as still and quiet as you can. Christians are praying. I want to ask you a question this morning, dead serious. If you died right now, are you sure you'd go to heaven? Brother Danny, I don't know if I would or not. You ought to come and make sure. Say, preacher, I believe I'll just take my chances. You want to stay in hell forever and ever and ever? That's your business. Say, I'm a good person. I'm a good man. I work hard. I make a good living. I'm a good woman. I mind my own business. I stay at home. I didn't ask you if you minded your own business. I didn't ask you if you made a good living. I didn't ask you if you were honest. I asked you if you knew you died right now. Would you go to heaven? If you don't know, I'm glad to report to you, you can know. You say, oh, you just think you do. No, you can know. If you don't, you ought to come. Yes. Father, I pray for that young man, Lord, that's struggling right now. For that young lady, Lord, that's debating what she ought to do. For that man, Lord, that's already maybe past the middle point of his life. For that woman that's here, Lord, maybe that's already on the other side. Maybe for that mom or that dad, that grandmother, that grandfather. Lord, I pray for this young couple that's here this morning that maybe don't know where they're going. But you'd help them to come and settle it today. The Lord say yes to Jesus and come to you and get it fixed up. Lord, they can go on their way rejoicing. Go out the door this morning and say, I got eternity fixed up. Hallelujah. We'll thank you and praise you for all you do for us. Write me in this invitation by your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.